Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen.
Hello and welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat, IGN's Nintendo podcast. This week we will be talking about new Pokemon Snap, a new Monster Hunter Rise update, and a new Super Mario Party update that now lets you actually play the Mario Party board game mode online, and of course a lot more. I am your host, Casey DeFritis, and this week I am joined by Miranda Sanchez.
Hi, hello. Please excuse my very noisy presence. There is construction going on. Also, if you're watching the video, my very pixelated presence, we tried to fix it. We don't know what's going on. I'm living in a very weird time. We're going to blame the construction, so
it is, yes, all the construction's fault, yeah. 100%. And I'm also joined this week by Reb Valentine, who actually reviewed new Pokemon Snap. So thank you for joining us today to talk about that.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's been a good couple weeks.
Yeah. And lastly, Tom Marks.
Hello. I didn't do anything, and I don't have construction, so I'm unamusing right now.
You did do things. You finished all of the stuff that comes in the Monster Hunter Rise update.
Oh, that's true. I did a thing. Yeah.
You did do a thing. You did a thing. So it is totally fine. It is all good. And we'll also be briefly talking about Miitopia and some other things and answering your questions for Question Block, like always. But let's kick it off with the new Pokemon Snap review discussion. So Reb and I have been able to play new Pokemon Snap. And It's been a delight. So, Reb, could you just give us a summary of what you thought about new Pokemon Snap? I know that you gave it an 8, which is great. Please explain.
I loved it. I thought it was very good. It is, if you've played the original Pokemon Snap and you wanted that, but more, because it was very short. I mean, it was limited by the time that it was in, but it was very short. There's only a handful of courses, handful of Pokemon. If you just wanted like that idea, but a lot more of it, like this is it. This is what new Pokemon Snap is. There are, I didn't even count, so I don't even know how many Pokemon are in this one. I'm not allowed to say.
Yeah, we're not.
Yet, but I don't know. I think they officially said in an interview over 200.
Yeah.
There's definitely that. There are a whole lot. There are more courses than you think there are. Like there was a point when I was going, again, we can't say how many courses there are either, but there was a point when I was going through and I reached a spot where I was like, this is probably going to be like the next to last course. And
then
there were just several, there was several more after that. I was like, okay, this is great. And there's like day and night variations too, which I think it would be easy to point to that and go, oh, well, it's just an excuse for them to reuse the same stuff. They are very different in ways that matter and are good and cool. I think the thing for me is it's just nice to see Pokemon being cool out in the wild. I love Pokemon so much. I think Bandai Namco has done just a wonderful job of making them feel like these really cool, like magic wild animals that you can just go out and have, you know, limited interactions with, but observe in their natural habitat and have a really enjoyable time with. They have all these wonderful little surprise moments. Casey and I have been talking about this. I've finished the game. I finished the review. I've rolled the credits. I've played about 17 hours of it at this point. I'm still finding things that I had no idea existed. Casey was telling me about an interaction the other day I had never even seen. And I went and found it and was just like, I love this so much.
Reb went and told me about an interaction that I had never seen before. And I think that's one of those games that's going to have so much conversation between people who are playing. It's like, oh my God, did you see this thing? No, how did you do it? And yeah, I love that.
There's one, again, still can't talk about it, but there's one that Casey and I know exists. We know it's in the game. Mm-hmm. We can't
it was
figure
in a trailer.
Out how to get it. Is it a trailer? But we can't figure out how to get it. And I'm having a lot of fun with that mystery.
Mm-hmm.
The things I didn't like as much, there's some progression systems attached to it. There's the scoring thing. There's kind of how you unlock the different courses. They mostly work. I think sometimes they sort of trip over themselves. There is a point when you are trying to unlock a new course where it's up to that point, it's very straightforward. It's, you know, get the thing you were just doing to a certain research level, and then the next thing will unlock, and it's paced nicely. But then there is a spot where it just suddenly, it's not explained to you what you're supposed to do next. And the thing that it turns out you have to do next is very grindy. It's just one spot, but it was kind of aggravating. And there were some things related to the scoring of photos as well that I thought, like, I would get a really special shot and then the professor would be like, oh, it's a photo. And I'm like, really? Do you not see that Pokemon, like, freaking out or whatever? Do you not see this cool thing I got? And that was a little disappointing too. But honestly, all that's incidental to just enjoying Pokemon doing cool things and being cute and telling these little stories over the course of the different research levels as you unlock them and gain their trust and they feel more comfortable being out and about around you.
So if you're watching this on YouTube right now, those are some of the photos that I edited with the photo mode. And just a quick tip for you guys, if you guys want to like re-angle your photos and resize them and do the whole like bokeh and focus and stuff, you have to do that immediately after taking your photos, because afterwards you can only do stuff like this, which is still really cool. You can still like add stickers and add like vignettes and frames and everything. But those are just some of the ones that I like made. And who's this? Is this yours, Red?
That's mine. Yeah,
I love
that's
it.
Mine.
You did. You gave him the same stuff I gave my Liepard. So, what you were to explain it to the audio video visitors, audio visitors. Jeez, the audio listeners. We showed a Torterra with a Pichu and a Grookey sleeping, and they're all sleeping, and it's very cute. And Pichu has some stickers to make it look like it's dreaming of cupcakes, and there's a little cute little border, and then there was a like an old timey, sepia filter over a Liepard with like a bow tie, and it was just silly. But there's I had so much fun messing with my photos and doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the resnap feature is really good. There, in the very first level in the park, there was a moment when I was trying to get a photo of a Wurmple on a tree. This is the very beginning of the game. And completely by accident, an Emolga swoops down and photobombs my Wurmple. And I just happened to get it in the shot, but it was still a shot of the Wurmple. The Emolga was like off center, and it wasn't a very good shot of the Wurmple, but if I had just been like a second later, it would have been a really good shot of the Emolga. And so I didn't get a whole lot of points for it, but after that level, I was able to go into resnap, and I was able to just like move the frame over a little bit and get the Emolga in the center. And now I have this really good snap that I actually put on my online profile now that internet features have been turned on. And last time I checked, I had over 64 sweets on it, which is probably not going to be a lot once the game comes out. But when only a handful of reviewers have it, that is a lot of sweets.
I hope it is. I don't know. I have no idea. And they're called like sweet medals. But anyway, that's kind of sweet how medals. Online works. I don't know if you get anything else particular.
You get achievements. You I got some achievements, okay, and some so you achievements. Can get a title. Like, I opened the game this morning, and an achievement just popped up and said, you got a total of 100 sweet medals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Thank you. Cool. Also, some stuff about Pokemon Snap. So I know you mentioned getting stuck in that spot, and I wanted to clarify that a little bit as well, because there were... there were some... So in the old Pokemon Snap, in order to progress, you had to do something like really specific and cool. Like you'd have to like find that Porygon in the river level to unlock the next one or things like that.
Yeah.
And in this one, that is not what you have to do to unlock the next one. As Reb said, it was pretty grindy in order to unlock the next one. And it wasn't like a discovery that made you go like, oh man, no wonder I couldn't pass. It was kind of like, really? That's what I had to do.
Yeah.
So, but that's fine. We'll have a guide on that. So if you get stuck, you can search for that guide on IGN.com. Because I assumed both of us like didn't know what to do there. Unless you were playing the game in a certain way and already grinding for literally everything. So
yeah, I will say, I think had I known that was what I was supposed to do, it would not have been so aggravating. Mm-hmm. I think if the professor had just said, hey, if you go do this, then something will happen, or this is what I want you to do next, it would have been easier. And he gives a very vague hint. But it's only the one time. Everything else I thought was pretty straightforward. It would be cool if we could blow up some rocks with a Voltorb or whatever it was you did in the original Pokemon Snap to unlock, I think, Volcano. I don't even remember. But, you know, it's I love it. I think it's very good. I think if you liked the ideas behind the original Pokemon Snap, you will be extremely happy with this.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I had a lot of fun. It took me about 12 hours to beat. And that was doing it as fast as possible. I was just trying to unlock everything as fast as possible. And that includes like the extra, I don't know, 2 hours I spent just doing random stuff, trying to figure out what I needed to do to move on. That wasn't what I was supposed to do. And the professor does give you some hints about like what you need to do occasionally, but they're super vague. It's like, I'm sure there's more to do in this island, but there are multiple courses on each island. So it's like, okay, but which one though? So it's like that kind of thing. But so yeah. It
took me about 15.
Yeah. So if I was playing it normally and not trying to beat it as fast as possible, it probably would have taken me more like 15 or 20. But then there's still so much more to go back and do more, because each course has these things, has research levels. And as you increase the research levels, you will unlock more Pokemon that appear and more interactions, and there's always something new every time you go back and replay the courses. It's not like the original Pokemon Snap where everything happens exactly at the same time all the time with the same Pokemon. It's always a little bit different, which adds a lot to the replayability and keeping things interesting.
There's also content after the credits roll too.
Yes there is. Post-game. There's new stuff after the credits. Miranda, I know you were excited for this game. Tom, are you excited for this game?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I definitely am. It seems like the type of sort of just relaxed, chill, look at cute Pokemon sort of game that I'm into at this very moment. I'm not jumping out the door to a midnight line to play it, but I love the first one and I'm really excited. And it's really nice to hear that this is probably addressing a lot of the concerns that people had with a potential Pokemon Snap sequel in terms of variety and length and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, it sounds like exactly what I was hoping for from this, basically. And I'm excited to try it.
Cool.
Sorry, I'm sneezing.
No worries. Did we answer all of your questions during that discussion, or do you have any more?
Yes, honestly, even reading Rub's review, I was a little disappointed to hear that progression's a little basic. Like, it's just like, yeah. Oh, you just do these very simple things and move forward. I did like the spectacle of the original, that you had to do something cool to move on, to like discover something, because it did feel like a discovery. But I guess the idea here, too, is that you're working on an island that's already established by a professor who's been like kind of setting up these courses and knows where to research. I mean, obviously, I don't know the whole details of it, but that makes sense to me as to why you wouldn't have to like discover something new for him in that same way. I'm so excited. I have my Switch ready to go. Mm-hmm. I want to play. I have a small secret for all of you.
Okay.
But a lot of times I'm more excited to play the spin-off games than I am the mainline games. Not that I don't love the mainline games. I love the mainline games. It's just that I love getting the chance to see Pokemon like this in a, such a different way. Like, how often do you just get to see them chilling in the wild, living their lives, having a good day, hopefully, and not getting eaten by another Pokemon? Who can say? I'm scared for that Wurmple you were describing, Rev. But
oh, he's fine. He's fine.
Okay, good.
He's hanging out on a tree. He's fine.
Okay.
Can we say the same thing for a Wooper in the next level, though? Who knows?
Oh, no!
So Wooper's fine.
Okay.
Wooper's fine. I want to say two things about this really quick. One is that there are so many... The treat for me is there are so... I'm watching this clip right now as we play it, and there are so many moments that even now watching it, but especially when I first encountered them, I was holding the controller, but I would just, like, sit back and go, look at that! Like, my... Just making an absolute fool out of myself. My neighbors probably thinking I was losing my mind. But just like seeing something and having just this moment because it was so cute or good or exciting. And I think that's one of the biggest treats of this game. The other thing that I sort of wanted to say, and this is, I guess, kind of in response to like comments that I saw around the reviews coming out yesterday. And I say this, one, not at all having unlocked every interaction, and two, not able to talk about some later levels, but just mm-hmm. very broadly, I think it is a good thing that Bandai Namco did not lean too heavily on trying to replicate certain kinds of interactions that were in the first game. One of the things that I see a lot of people saying is, oh, well, you know, why can't we get Pikachu to ride a surfboard? Or why can't we evolve this Pokemon in this very specific way? And I'm not sitting here like confirming or denying that we can or can't do those things. One, because I don't fully know. And two, because even if I did, I wouldn't be able to talk about it. But just generally... I think them not just trying to make the exact same moments happen again and make them very, very obvious was a good thing. They tried to do their own thing and they made their own moments. And I think that ultimately makes the game a lot stronger than if they had just gone, oh, yeah, well, we can just make the Pokemon do the thing that everyone expects it to do.
And yeah, yes, Miranda?
I was just saying, I agree with that. I do want to see different things. Like, we know what Pikachu looks like riding on a surfboard. We know what Pikachu looks like when it has balloons strapped to its back. Like, those are great. I love those moments. But there's plenty of other Pokemon to showcase and let them shine in different ways. And I think that's really important to have in a game like this.
I do want to let you know, Miranda, though, Pikachu has some of the most vast number of different things that it can do in this game. It can do so many different things, and it's all very cute and very cool.
Of course it does.
Yeah, of course it does.
But Pikachu.
I also just...
A lot of obscure Pokemon getting the spotlight, yes, too, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to mention that there are a lot of interactions between Pokemon that are callbacks to like things like Pokedex entries and just general Pokemon lore that are still really fun to watch, even if you didn't know about it previously. But as a fan, I feel especially rewarded seeing those things happen, like play out on screen for me. I'm just like, oh, that's that thing that I heard about that one time in the Pokedex, and now it's doing it. That's so cool.
That's so exciting. I don't like that's exactly what I was saying about these spinoff games. Like, you get to see the world of Pokemon come to life in a way that you wouldn't get to otherwise. Like, there's just not as much as we want to see. And I think we will see the mainline Pokemon games grow to include hopefully more interactions as we have these wild areas. Hopefully those continue to grow. This is the place for all of those actions to shine. So like, it's like that. And like Detective Pikachu, those are the games where I'm like, oh, but what are you going to show me about the world of Pokemon I didn't already know? And I'm really excited to have that experience.
Yeah.
And before we move on, so we have some questionable questions from you guys, the listeners. But before that, I did want to bring up, so last week I got very excited about the printer with the Switch app because I didn't think there was a way to print your photos off the Switch before that in an easy way. But there was. You can do it exactly the same way that this new thing is advertising. You can get literally any like photo printer or photo developer that links to your smartphone and send any screenshot to your smartphone using the QR system built into the Switch already. And just it just treats it like a regular photo. You don't need this special Instax Mini Link that has also been out for a year. And you don't need the special Switch app. But the special Switch app that only works with the Instax Mini Link will let you add like Nintendo stickers. So yes, I was super wrong. I shouldn't have been as excited. You can already do this.
Yeah, it's okay. You learn something every day. I'm actually very into the mini printer game, which is weird to say, but I'm really big into journaling, and also in the journaling community we're like, hey, how do we print our Animal Crossing screenshots that we had from this meetup we had under the cherry blossoms? So that's a big thing with us, is like, how can you most effectively do this and most cost effectively? And what do you want if you're like, say, on the go? And I think if you are on the go, having like an Instax Mini Link is really nice, but there are definitely different options for that. And I would encourage people to look at it, because with the Instax, you do have like that big border, and some people don't want that big border. And there are different photo options out there. And I will say with the Instax photos, they are a bit thicker. So they're not just like a flat photo that's like just printed, because they are special film. So if you want that cool, like Polaroid feel to it, here you go, kind of. Because I think this is also a little bit different in how it prints than, like, say, like the actual Instax cameras.
Yeah, but I think these actually, they do actually develop. So it's not just a straight printer. You have to wait for the photo to develop. So, yeah. But
I'm just going to throw out there, I downloaded screenshots to my Google Photos and then sent them to my local Walgreens and printed off an Animal Crossing screenshot for a whopping 35 cents. So you nice. Can do that. Also, I apologize if I'm adding to the ambient noise that Miranda has now. Somebody appears to be sawing directly above my head.
Woo! So that's cool. Construction day, I guess.
Yeah, I actually don't know if you can hear this, but I have a window AC unit that's been actually like really loud behind me. So I don't know if you guys can hear that either. So
Tom,
what Tom, do you have any noise you want to report?
No, my house is pretty quiet.
I will say also, if you have just a printer, you know, you can just use your basic printer to print any screenshots.
But
that
is
you
that
have.
Photo quality though?
You can.
I guess if you have a photo quality printer with photo quality paper, then yes.
Yeah, I have like a cheap one. By cheap one, I mean it's still expensive at like $80, whatever the printer was. But I think decent color printers are still rather expensive.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. 35 cents at Walgreens. What are you all doing?
I have to print documents then, sometimes. And a lot of photos to journaling.
And then you have to go to Walgreens.
Then you have to go to the Walgreens. I don't want to do that. That's the hard part.
Okay.
So I'm many fine. Alternatives for printing your screenshots.
So there's our reporting on how to get your Pokemon Snap screenshots. Thank you for all of the wonderful knowledge, Reb and Miranda, that I did not have before. And now I did want to answer some of your questions about Pokemon Snap. So this one is from Nick Zabrowski, and they ask, I have pretty much no interest in Pokemon, but going on a chill safari with cool looking creatures is up my alley. Would I enjoy Pokemon Snap?
I think probably. I think it depends on why you're not interested in Pokemon. If you're not interested in it because you're not into like the RPGs or the story or just the gameplay of it, then yeah, I think you probably would enjoy that. If you're not interested in it because you're not quite into the vibe of Pokemon, then maybe not.
Or if you look at Pokemon designs and say, wow, that's really freaking dumb. Like, you're still going to think that designs are dumb in Pokemon Snap. Look, Miranda just got so sad. But I'm sure you wouldn't be asking this question if you just had that overall opinion. So, but yeah, no, I think it's really, oh no.
Oh, he's sad.
That's how I feel about that criticism. Sad. Maybe he'll focus. Maybe the pixels. No, I think the pixels just add something to it.
Very sad Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, this is in response to you. If you think Pokemon are dumb, look at this very weird Detective Pikachu plush.
Anyway, continue, please.
You know what you can do? I would just watch a couple trailers or watch, you know what you can also watch? You can watch any of the trailers for Pokemon Go as well, where they have like the Pokemon running around in real life. If you look at those and go, that's really cool, you'll probably like the game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I don't think you really need to know much about Pokemon. You just have to like, those are kind of cool looking creatures. And if you have that base opinion about Pokemon, I think you would enjoy this game.
And then if you like those creatures and would like to see them fight in Bloodsport, you can then get into the RPGs after that.
Wow.
There we go.
Wow. They just fake Tom.
I'm just saying the truth, okay?
Wow.
And I have Everyone's no comment. Silent. I have no rebuttal. I have no rebuttal to that.
It's not Bloodsport. No. It's no blood.
Or you could, well, if you want more violence, even you could enjoy Bandai Namco's other Pokemon game, Pokken Tournament.
Yes. Okay, that one's way more violent, I would say.
Yeah, because you actually see them punching and stuff, but still no blood. But you can imagine there is, and then it would be a blood sport. But anyway, this next question is from Harry Lazides, and they ask, how is the variety of Pokemon? Does it skew toward one gen or have a nice bunch? I think it's pretty well distributed. I didn't notice like one gen more so than the others, but I also did not actually like categorize. Mm. I did not actually count like how many of each gen. I just didn't notice it skewing one way or the other.
I think you are mostly correct. I have one theory, mm-hmm. and this is theory. There are not a lot of Sword and Shield Pokemon in here.
And yeah.
Except the ones that are the three starters.
Mm. Yeah.
And there might be more. I don't have a good instant mental grasp on that Pokemon is from Gen 6. I'm not amazing at that. But I did not see a lot of Sword and Shield Pokemon. And my weird conspiracy theory is, I mean, we know this game was originally intended to come out in 2020. I suspect it was intended to come out even earlier than that.
Mm.
And that may be why there are not a lot of Sword and Shield Pokemon inside. But that could be completely wrong. I don't know. But yes, there's a good variety of everything.
I also think it might actually, I think there are quite a few Gen 2 Pokemon that I noticed specifically that might be a little bit more prominent than other ones as well. Now that I'm thinking about it, but I think there's, I mean, it's still mixed enough that I had to really think about it to come to even that really tiny conclusion. So, and then this next question is from Ivan Lisenak, and they ask, is this a game you can see coming back to a year from now, or when you are done, are you really done?
I think it's a game that you do finish at some point. I do think that's not when the credits roll. I think I see myself having rolled credits after about 15 hours. I've played a couple more hours trying to get, you know, screenshots and stuff for, you know, stuff that I'm going to write for IGN. But also I think once I'm done actually, you know, doing my job and writing content, I'm going to sit down and I'll probably try to finish the photo decks. And so I anticipate getting a solid 20, maybe more hours out of it. Mm-hmm. I hope they put DLC in it. I think this game is ripe for DLC. More courses, more Pokemon would make perfect sense for this. I did ask them about this in an interview, and their very PR response was, we have nothing to announce at this time. But there's a part of me that wonders if they really weren't going to do it, would they have just said we have no plans or something like that? So I know that's big Nintendo hopeful energy, and we never really know. Well, I guess it's not, I mean, it's Pokemon Company and Bandai Namco really, but I know that's big hopeful energy for Pokemon Company to do something that I want them to do, and sometimes that doesn't pay off, but I want there to be DLC, and if that was the case, I would absolutely come back and play it.
Well, apparently all we do have to do to get an update for this game is wait 2.5 years.
Yeah, that is actually a perfect segue into our next topic. But I did want to add real quick to Reb's comment about replayability. I would not try to fill out all of my photo decks. However, I would try to get all of the levels to research level 3 and beyond so that I could see all of the different Pokemon interactions. I would at least want to like fill out my photo decks for each Pokemon, but maybe not every single behavior that you can get them to do, which would still add like many hours of of gameplay to just the credits. But yeah, that perfect segue that I have now just ruined.
This year I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener, I went to watch it and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston, but whatever. Had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN, and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with like Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea, and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN, it's going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else. Unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
You know what just got update 2.5 years later for something we've all been complaining about for many, many moons? Super Mario Party has finally been updated with online play. 2.5 years later, it is a free update. It is available now. And before, and I know you've heard me complain about this many times, you could not actually play a Mario Party board game online. And you were limited to only playing, I think, like 8 mini games total in one mode online. And that was it. But now you can, there are more than 70. So there's 70 out of the 80 mini games available online. You can play, with friends or with random people, and this is awesome. I actually did test this out yesterday, and I have thoughts. They're not.
Oh no! Why does Nintendo not like online games?
I don't. So, okay. Look, I don't even know where to start.
This is a really good start to this.
What? What are your thoughts? I want to know what your thoughts are.
Okay, please. So here's the thing. I'm thinking like Super Mario Party getting online play would encourage a bunch of people who have not purchased this game before to get it now, because now they can play Super Mario Party online with their friends. However, when you play, so generally when you're playing Super Mario Party and you do a board, you unlock more things for playing the game. Whether that's a new board or more mini games or like other things around Super Mario Party, you will unlock more things as you play. When you play a board game online, you get none of that progress. You get no progress for playing online at all. So if you get this game to play online and only play online, it will be, you will not unlock anything new by doing so.
But I thought that the other part of it was that everything is unlocked when you're playing online.
Is it?
That's what I thought. Yeah, when playing over the internet, all 20 characters and all maps are available regardless of your current in-game progression, and 70 of the 80 minigames are available.
Okay. Ooh, yeah, that's
so
still good.
So
that's
you
great.
Don't you don't make any progress, but also you don't technically need to make any
if
progress.
If you only play online.
If you're only playing online, yes.
Okay.
It is still
thank
annoying
you
if you're doing a mix of it, that's for sure. Yeah.
No, thank you for correcting me. That's good to know. And the other thing is that, so yes, you can now play Mario Party, Partner Party, and Free Play, but the Mariothon, the previous online mode, was not updated. So if you want to just do like a mini game championship where you just play a bunch of mini games and the game like gives you a champion based on who did the best in the mini games, there's still only 8 mini games. They did not add any additional mini games to that particular mode. But you can do free play mini games, but that also does not keep track of your like so-called score. So if you wanted to do just mini games, you have to kind of keep track of your own stuff, which I am bad at, unless I'm writing literally everything down.
Yeah, pen and paper, you're fine.
Yeah, pen and paper.
Old school ways, it's all good.
It's really telling how long it took them to do this update, because I'm watching this clip we're showing and it has several IGN folks playing together in person.
Yep.
That was wild.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at, they shared a link right to the, when they made this announcement, to the like full kind of patch notes-ish sort of thing, Nintendo's version of patch notes, and it's the update history page for this game, and there's this long sort of post about the update that they just did, the 1.1.0 update that adds online, and then the only other update on the page is version 1.0.1, which was released in March 21st, 2019. And the only line item on that update in the history is made fixes to the data scheduled for an upcoming release. And that's it.
What?
And so, like, this is literally the first, as far as I can remember, the first major update this game has gotten in 2.5 years, right? And, like, that's, like, nuts to me. I think this is, obviously, I don't want to rag on Nintendo for doing a thing that they be doing, right? It's good. Right, this is great. This is massively increases, bless you, massively increases the functionality of this game. That's awesome.
Yes.
But, like, at the same time, it's pretty wild it took this long, like, and it's pretty wild that it was missing at all. And I don't know. It's just like, it's hard not to be pessimistic about this, but it is very nice that it has happened finally.
So here's the only other thing. So like I said, I played an actual Mario Party game last night with people online, and there definitely was lag, but honestly, lag during the minigame just makes the tension run even higher. Who knows if you're going to catch that fruit when you're trying to time it correctly. And it just, you know, makes things, I don't know. That's a positive. Great. More
feature
tension.
Feature not a bug.
Yeah, feature not a bug.
More tension.
More tension.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. Online.
That's
it's
a good
2021,
spin.
And it's always just so disappointing to see how behind Nintendo is and a lot of these online functionality. Like, it's just, it always feels like an afterthought, or not always, but many times, especially in this case, like, this is the prime example of it, right? That it feels like an afterthought when it's such a big thing. So, for instance, like, I like playing games with my family a lot, but we all live actually across the United States, like, on each coast, in the middle, we're everywhere. And so, like, the only way we can play games together really is if, like, it has online functionality. So, like, things like Mario Party that we love playing together, we just can't. So, now we can, but hopefully we won't have lag.
I also have one more bummer online. Mm. So when I was playing online yesterday, there was a connection error and it kicks everyone out of the game and you lose all of your progress and you cannot pick up the game again.
Bad.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah.
It's wild because I was on NVC two, three weeks ago when you were all praising how well the online worked in Monster Hunter. Yeah. And I know that game is developed by a different person, but come now.
Yeah.
Some people can do it. Yeah. I think an online with Splatoon is usually really good.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
it's their console.
It is. This game to me was, I think, one of the most, Super Mario Party is honestly one of the biggest disappointments of the entire Switch life cycle, I think, to me. Not like, because it was, everyone recognized it was such a good base at the when it came out, right? Like, that was kind of the general consensus, was like, this is really fun, but it's a little thin right now, and I'm excited to see where it goes. And then they just never made DLC for it. They never gave it online until 2.5 years later, right? And, like, so this feels like, like, the fact that we finally got online, but it's so late, and it, like, kind of has some issues, and other games are meanwhile doing online on the Switch better than it, and doing, you know, updates to these games like this better than it. It's just, like, sort of an unexpected miss from Nintendo in a way that I feel like we're not really used to seeing them miss this way very often, even in the context of the fact that they don't, that they have a history of issues with online.
And I felt less. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I did have especially high hopes for the online for this, because they just replaced, Nintendo just replaced their online server that they've been using for 18 years with a new one that they rolled out. Monster Hunter Rise, the Monster Hunter Rise demo was the first game that actually utilized this. So I was hoping, like, oh, like, maybe they waited for this, for that, so that they could roll it out and use this new service. But I don't even know if they actually are using that for this game. There's not really a way for me to tell. The only reason we know that is because some people figured it out. It was not announced or anything.
Yeah.
So,
right. And it could be, like, this is the thing, is game development is incredibly hard, and yeah. Yes. Online game development is double that, right? Like,
absurd. Yeah.
So the fact that this game, maybe there was some fundamental thing, like, it's a complex game. There's a lot of things going on. Like, I don't expect it's an easy problem to fix. And maybe they were waiting for whatever this new server stuff is, and now they were like, listen, even with this, it's still not going to work very well, but we wanted to give them anything, right? Mm-hmm. We wanted to make it function at all. And, like, now we can. And maybe that is the case. And at which point, again, I'm not going to, like, complain about this free update. It's just like, it's just, like, hard to be over the moon about it, I guess, is
for me. I think that's fair too, right? Like, you can still be a little disappointed that it took so long for something that was sort of expected to happen. And I think especially for the Switch, right? Like, you see this great mobile console that they have, and, like, we love taking it to places. I take it to parties. So this is, like, the perfect thing that you want to go and show your friends, and for them to not support, say, a party game for a system that you can take to parties and other events. It's a little disappointing, and, like, you want to see something like Super Mario Party that I think we generally have, like, historically really enjoyed, or at least I have, and you want to see it get that support. So I do hope that they maybe reevaluate what they do with this, and it is a shame that we are getting, it's weird to say, at the end of the pandemic, because it's not really the end. Like, I think a lot of us still need to stay home, stay safe, all that good stuff. I just wish I also had this, like, a year ago.
Yeah, same thing.
I think
thing.
It would have felt less ridiculous if they had, even if they had had to sit on this online update for another however many months, if they had come out with it alongside sort of more of an update than this,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
here's more mini games. Here's another course. Here's another character. Like a 1.5 kind of thing, or like Animal Crossing's Welcome Amiibo update, or
right.
From New Leaf, sorry, not New Horizons, but, you know, sort of a, hey, remember this game that you may have liked and probably don't play anymore? Well, here's a big reason to come back, not just online, but here's a bunch of new content you haven't experienced yet. We're going to sort of re-promote it in our stores or something like that. You know, try to treat it like it's a big, exciting thing. And I know everyone probably would have dunked on it then and been like, oh, they're just trying to pad out releases because they don't have anything to launch this year, which I don't think is true, but... Still, I would have liked to see that instead of just, well, here you go, online.
And I do want to say, even with all of these problems that we talked about, I want to emphasize that I still had so much fun playing this last night, even with the problems. It was still a blast. It was still Mario Party. And I also recognize the difficulties in making this work compared to something like Monster Hunter, because the timing for everyone does have to kind of be exact for a lot of Mario Party minigames.
Yeah.
Whereas for Monster Hunter, as long as what I'm seeing is what I'm actually reacting to, that's fine. Like, someone else in Monster Hunter, like, all the small monsters, I don't know if they do this in Rise, but I know in, like, World and other previous games, like, the small monsters weren't in the same place for everyone when you're playing co-op. They just create different instances for you. So you could be on one side of a course and, like, a monster like that it looks like no one is that no one is near will just like die. But actually someone else has just killed it. So like, but anyway, that's the way that they fix that. But you can't do that with something like Mario Party because like everything needs to be reacting at the same time for everyone or else it will not work because timing is so important. But then you look at, I don't know, like Fall Guys and stuff like that does that, but that's not Nintendo. So
yeah, but so there's plenty of online games that show
yeah.
parody. But
I just wanted to recognize it is more difficult. I'm assuming more difficult than something like Monster Hunter because for Definitely. That reason. And right. I still had a lot of fun doing it. I just wish that there's a way to like, I wish it would like save your game state so that you could just go back in it.
Yeah, it definitely it's something that I mean the thing we keep kind of talking about, but yes, it is something that should have been there from the start. It's disappointing that it maybe has a little bit of issues and it took this long to get in there, but it's still very, very exciting and very, very great that Mario Party now has online play like this is very good. It's very good. And I'm excited to try it again, right? With my brother who lives out of country or something like that. Like that's something I didn't think I was ever going to really go back to right now.
Yeah. And I think it's, if you already have it, I think it's definitely worth giving it a shot. Like I said, it was still very fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were just talking about how Super Mario Party has now gotten online play and how exactly that works and how well it works. But in more news, we got another update this week that we were anticipating, and that is for Monster Hunter Rise. It finally got the 2.0 update, which included it, so much stuff and so many things that people wanted. Like you have layered armor, your hunter rank will be unlocked. There's now Elder Dragons, there's new Apex monsters. One of the things people complained about or like wanted was being able to fight those Apex monsters, which were locked behind specific rampage quests in regular hunts. So now you can just go and fight that one thing and it gives you additional rewards that actually makes it kind of worthwhile as well. I have not actually completed all of this content yet, but Tom has.
Most of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the only thing I haven't done yet is fought Apex Mizu and Apex Rathian outside, like in normal hunts yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I've done everything else.
How long did it take you to do all the other stuff?
Probably total getting to the end of all of it. It took me maybe like, it's hard to estimate, maybe like 4 to 8 hours total. Probably okay, a little, cool. Probably a little less than that, like less than the higher end of that. But like, yeah, it's sizable, right? Like for a free update, they added a half dozen or whatever monsters roughly. And like, it's a good amount of stuff. It's not a ton of new missions, but the amount of content that's in there is impressive for a free update a month out. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do want to mention, so that 4 to 8 hours does not include actually like creating all of the new weapons and armor you can from all of the new monsters.
No. That's just fighting all the new monsters once,
at
right?
Least once
or, once yeah. or twice. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. it was, and I did some other things here and there, but like, I didn't like max out all the sets or anything. There's still tons more to do. I'm not saying it's short by any means.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go for it, Miranda.
Oh yeah. As I say, so I'm not really a Monster Hunter person as much. Like I dabbled in Worlds and I really enjoyed what I played of it and I haven't picked up Rise yet, but I have to say it's like really admirable that they have an update, like a sizable, cool expansion a month out, like, and it's free. Like that's awesome. That's an awesome way to keep people in. And I know how much you talk about it, Casey, and just like, I love hearing you talk about Monster Hunter. And I think a lot of other people do too, because obviously you just really love it and really know it. And it's also awesome to have Tom on the train as well. Because I think the way you talk about the depth of it is really exciting. And honestly, whenever you're just saying you can layer armor, I was like, wow, this is cool. And I don't know, hearing about it makes me excited to eventually get into it again. And if anything, again, I just wanted to say how awesome it is to have such an awesome update a month out. Just more stuff to do. And like you, and like I kept kind of going back to like how much you talk about it, because like there's so much in the base game. Like, geez. And then like, oh, and here's some more stuff for you for free. Just, you know, here you go. Keep
have
going.
Fun.
Have fun. Yeah. It's like, dang. That's awesome.
I agree. This is not a game for me in any way, shape, or form. I have tried demos before of various Monster Hunter games. I can't get into it. But hearing you and everyone else playing it at IGN right now, talking about how much they love it and how exciting it is and all these little details, I just look at it and I go, wow, I wish I was into this because this looks like a really good game.
And I love how with just about every update, it seems that Capcom is addressing feedback from the fans.
Like, yeah.
And I don't know if they were anticipating, they anticipate this feedback. I know they don't every single time, but like a lot of the feedback from when the game first came out was addressed with this update. And also to clarify, layered armor is just something. So you can now make armor with these things called outfit vouchers.
Yeah.
So you earn outfit vouchers by doing quests now, and you can turn them in to make pieces of armor that you just put over your regular armor, so they don't affect your stats or anything, but you can look as cool as you want without worrying about your stats now.
You see, this is exactly what I was hoping for. It's like, give me the fashion, because that was my one of my favorite parts of World was like the range of like things you could combine and how you could look, and it's just fantastic, and the design's great every time.
And also have outfit vouchers for your buddies.
Yeah.
Yay!
And they did layered armor. They did layered armor well here too, because like one of the things about World was that they rolled out layered armor kind of like over time, right? And so they didn't. And whereas this is just like, oh yeah, if you have access to the armor set, you can spend the materials to make the layered armor version of that right away for basically everything, which is like, it's just very, very good, right? It's very flexible, and it's not like, it's not sort of like doling it out slowly like they did in World and Iceborne, which I appreciate a lot.
Yeah, I will say too, that makes me feel as a player very seen, because I will suffer with worse armor if I have to. Like, I will figure out a way to make it work, because I don't want to look, I don't want to wear a certain thing. I am that kind of player. So. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people out there that do exactly the same thing. And I also wanted to mention, I was so afraid about having a huge grind to increase my hunter rank to access the new content, because the way hunter rank works, like once you beat the game, basically, essentially, like once you beat like the last boss in the core game, you will unlock your hunter rank, which means like all of the points that you got from doing excess quests will then like automatically be like slapped on, and then you will like increase in rank. In Rise, that wasn't the case. So all of the extra stuff that we did before this update came out was not applied to our hunter rank. So yeah. I was like, man, am I going to have to play like hours and hours to get my hunter rank up when it should have already been that high already? And that's not the case. It's actually quite easy to get your hunter rank up. And I was almost at, I will be at HR 20, which, you know, getting, you need to get from like HR 8 to 20 to unlock the Camellios. And by the time I was done doing just a handful of the new quests that you unlock, I was basically already at HR 20. So yeah. It seems like a really natural progression rather than like having to grind specifically for HR points.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to make the higher hunter ranks
more difficult.
More difficult, but the like the gates, because there's a few gates for these like fighting these new Elder Dragons that they added where they cap your hunter rank again, like you were saying. And yeah, I had the exact same thing where it was like I was hunter rank 32 and I did a single 7-star rampage against an Apex Rathalos, and I was then hunter rank 38. Right. Like you get that. I think they really want you to just like unlock that content quick with those higher rank hunts. So it seems like that's what they added. They added these like it's Master Isuchi's challenges that are just like hunts that just seem to get you a bunch of hunter rank. And that's basically it. So they don't want that to be a grind at least in this early part of this update.
Yeah, I think that was smart just because like I said, you didn't get all those points from whatever you did before this update came out, because I'm sure like so many people have hundreds of hours in this game already, and I'm sure they would have been very salty if they had to put in another 50 to get their hunter rank to unlock this new content. So yeah, I'm incredibly happy with this new update, and they've already revealed we're getting 3.0 at the end of May, so in one more month we're getting even more, including including an extension to the story. So we're going to have a continuation of the story that ended off at the end of the base game.
Yeah, though I will say, and I understand that game development takes time, right? And part of why they're doing the updates this way is to keep people playing over a long period of time, right? To keep people interested, which is, it's great. It makes it fresh and fun. Like each month we get an update initially. That's awesome. And part of the reason they're doing these updates is because, you know, then they can focus on finishing the base game, and then they can work on these like last little extra things in the month leading up to its release. But at the same time, the things that they're adding in these first two major updates do just feel like they should have been in the base game also. Like, that was one of the criticisms that I had in my review, was that there were no Elder Dragons to fight at the end of the story. And, like, now we have Elder Dragons to fight. And another one of the criticisms was that the story ends in a total cliffhanger that feels completely unfinished. And then next month we're getting a new story ending, right? So, like...
yeah.
Like, I'm not looking at gift horse in the mouth here. Really glad about these updates. I think this update is really fun and really brings a lot of good stuff. But it does feel a little bit like Rise is, like, actually being finished now. You know, like, it feels like this is stuff that was sort of missing. And I'm glad it's here, and I'm glad they're listening to fans, and I'm glad it's as good as I hoped it would be. That gives me a lot of faith for the future of this game, as I already had a lot. But it is stuff that it needed, I think, and I'm just glad to see that it's coming.
And it sounds like they also are at least adding things that fans wanted or needed as far as, like quality of life improvements too, though?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Like, I don't know if the plan was always to let you fight Apex monsters outside of Rampages, but that is, like, a really, really nice thing, because I think that Rampages are, after playing, you know, another 70 hours after my review, I think I can basically call Rampages a fun but failed experiment, right? They are, like, amusing, but absolutely not how I want to be spending my time in that game. And so being able to fight Apexes outside of them is something that fans really wanted. And, like, the fact that they did that, whether it was planned or not, is, like, really, really great and is at least heads up of what the community does want, yes.
Yeah, like, I don't mind doing the Rampage quests for story progression. I thought those were fun and interesting, but I don't want to have to grind the same Rampage quest over and over again.
Yeah, they're just identical. Specific materials. Like that's the problem with them, is that they're really easy to get S rank on, and strategically they're identical no matter what monster you're fighting. So once you've done, and you know, I'll grind the same monster over and over again, but like fighting the monsters is more fun than sitting at a turret and holding the right trigger, right? Like it's just a different thing that doesn't really change much. So when I see Apex Rathalos, which I've already fought in a Rampage, that fight is so cool, and all I could think of during it was like, oh, I want to do this in the lava caverns. Like I don't want to do this again through a Rampage, you know. So it's nice that they're doing that eventually. I believe Apex Rathalos and Diabolos are not going to be available in missions until a future update, but
that sounds right now
I'm just very like you said, Miranda, I think they do know what's up and they do care.
Which is really nice. But so thank you, Tom, for talking with me about the Monster Hunter Rise update, which is out now for free for anyone with Monster Hunter Rise. By the way, you have to have defeated the final boss in the base game to access this new stuff. So just keep that in mind. You got to beat the game first and then you can access all the new things. But also, there's a Miitopia demo out now on the Nintendo Switch, and there's save data transfer over. This is a... Reb, what are you making faces for? What are you?
This game isn't good. What's wrong with you all? This game's not good.
So
Miitopia's not good.
So Miitopia is originally a 3DS game. I actually played it to talk about my impressions on NBC a couple of years ago. And you know what? All of that information has completely evacuated my brain. I do not remember basically anything except like it's an RPG where you have a Mii that looks yourself and you can make your party look like your friends and make them do weird stuff in a house together. That's all I remember about it. That is exactly my complete recollection. Reb, you reviewed it for a different outlet back then, so yeah, you probably have
in 2017.
Oh my goodness. So tell us about Miitopia. Why is it so bad?
Yeah, so these are also based on fuzzy recollections. So it is a game pretending to be an RPG where you play as a Mii, your Mii presumably, and you have this party of friends who joins you on this quest to beat a bad guy. It is very fuzzy for me in my brain too, because it was back in 2017. But it's a very like typical RPG quest, and you take on different party roles. There's a mage, a warrior, a thief, things like that, and you go through this RPG quest together. It's very weird. Your companions are other Miis, and again, my recollection is very fuzzy. I can't remember if I think you can pick certain Miis for certain roles. So when I was playing it on the 3DS, you know, because we had Street Pass and you had, you know, these friend systems. And so everybody had a Mii And so you could assign people who were on your friends list to play other characters in your party. And you assembled this party of people who you knew very well. And you could also assign them to other roles too, like critical NPC roles, villains, various other characters. And then other characters in the game would be borrowed from just this sort of large pool of me's that other people had created. So I'm scrolling through my old review right now. I ended up with like King Zoidberg being guarded by Dr. Mario, Princess Birdo being madly in love with Nigel Thornberry while Prince Magikarp looks on in jealousy.
Oh, no.
Like I didn't have any control of that. That was just other people's me's that ended up in my game. Anyway, the premise is really funny. And for about the first 2 to 3 hours when I originally played this game, I really liked it. And I think that's why a lot of people are liking the demo right now. It sounds like the me creation features are really popular with people because they are now much more robust than before. And so people are having fun making goofy me's again, which is great because me's were one of the really fun, silly features that I kind of enjoyed about the Wii and DS era that I wish had a more prominent role on the Switch. But look, y'all, you're going to buy this game and it's going to be really funny for about 2 or 3 hours. And then it's going to get super repetitive. It's an RPG, but you only control yourself. You don't control your party members and they just kind of do random things, that are sometimes very frustrating and you don't have control over and eventually make it very hard to beat bosses. And like there are points where you want to buy equipment that is an upgrade for you so that you can keep moving on, but you have to like give the gold to the other members of your party to buy it for themselves. And sometimes they just might not do it or the equipment might not be there. They might not buy it. They have all these cute little interactions with one another, but sometimes they will get mad at each other and deliberately trip each other in battle for no reason.
Oh, no. That sounds just great.
No, it's so it is funny. It is funny for 2 to 3 hours. And then it immediately becomes really frustrating. It's also, you can basically just hold down B and go through all the fights. There is like no actual gameplay after a certain point.
But HP bananas.
Yeah, it's stopped being fun. Also, the conversations get really repetitive. They're really funny at the beginning, and it's like, oh, look at all these goofy jokes. Haha, look at my friends being silly. But eventually, you just start seeing the same conversations over and over again. So, I don't know. Have fun with the demo, everyone. I would not recommend picking this up beyond the demo. But you do you, I guess.
I also...
Maybe it's better now. I don't know.
I also see this working so much better on the 3DS because you had access to all of those Mii's that you had with your friends. But the Switch, there is no Mii sharing on the Switch. Like, I started the demo and I could only choose Mii's that were created on the Switch. I couldn't choose my friends' Mii's. So people on my friends list, can't pick them. You have to
Wait, this isn't going to be fun at all then.
You can download their codes, I thought it was.
Okay.
It's so much work.
An option, but it's not.
That's like going to Walgreens to print off a photo.
Exactly. Like you can just have a printer at home and then it's fine. Then you can have as many prints as you want. But horse. Sorry if you guys are listening. A horse just appeared on the screen and we're all very excited about the horse.
There's a new horse.
That is new. Yeah. Okay, there were no horses before.
Every spy, you can customize its mane.
I don't know if that's gonna fix the game.
I love this idea that like we're all down on this game and then a horse appears on screen and Casey and Miranda are like, never mind, I'm getting it.
I definitely want to play the demo at least. I just love silly games like this. You guys, I miss Street Pass so much. Love Street Pass.
Yeah, honestly, Street Pass was great.
Street Pass was good.
I kind of want to like take a step back on my like you can't use your friends' Mii's. I actually am not 100% sure. I just know in your character creation you can't pick anything unless it was made on your Switch. You can't choose your own Mii, so that's why I'm like assuming you can't choose anyone else's Mii in the future. But like I said, I could be totally wrong about that. So just keep that in mind.
I'm curious now, and I haven't played the demo because I didn't like the first game. But I'm very curious now as to how this will end up actually working, because I do remember that was why I enjoyed the minimal amount of the game that I did enjoy back on the 3DS, is because for the first like even three, four, 5 hours, you're sitting there and it's just moment after moment of a new character appearing and it either assigning it to Nigel Thornberry for no reason, or you having to pick one of your friends either someone on your Switch with you or someone who is one of your, or not Switch, your DS, someone who is a friend of yours to fill in that role. And I remember how much fun that part was. So, and then it was no longer fun.
Okay, so I'm reading this now. So yes, you can make up to 100 Mii characters on your Switch. And then your friends can also make Mii characters and send them to you. However, these are not automatically attached to your profile Miis. Like, they have to actually, like, make another one on their Switch and send it for you to get it. So it's not as simple as it was on their 3DS, which is just, like, people make... It's just not as simple, because people... You would automatically get Miis into your 3DS just by, like, street pass and passing people, and that's not the case with the Switch. So, anyway, Miitopia. The demo is out now. It's free. Like, why not check it out? I think it's worth the demo, Reb. Okay, stop making the face.
It's worth the demo. It's goofy for a while. Take some screenshots. I don't know. I'm curious to see if there is suddenly an appreciation for this, because I was not alone in thinking this game was bad back when it first came out. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that it can be saved by horses alone.
So thank you everyone for talking about the Miitopia demo and also Monster Hunter Rise update. Now I want to move on to what we're playing. I know Reb and I already talked about new Pokemon Snap. We also already talked about Monster Hunter, and we also already talked about Mario Party. But is there anything else anyone is playing on a Nintendo console right now? Yes, Miranda.
Hello. It's kind of maybe boring for everyone else, but an exciting project for me is I have been playing day by day Animal Crossing from fall 2020 because I missed all of the events because of work. So I've been replaying everything, and it's been a slow progress because I've been trying to juggle it amongst other things. And I finally made it to 2021, and I'm really excited.
Wait, so you like play a bit of a day and then move your calendar forward a day on the Switch and then play that day, so you're playing multiple days per day to catch up?
Yeah,
amazing. Yeah. And just doing, amazing.
Yeah, so I have an Animal Crossing bullet journal, and so I need to get photos of all the holidays for my journals, and I also just want to experience them. So because I wasn't able to, I really don't like time traveling. I don't ever time travel forward to get to things. I only just, if I'm catching up, like, this is the only way I'm like, oh, okay. And so this is just like a little project for me to try to get to experience all the stuff that I missed, and eventually catch up to what's happening now, because it's very weird having snow still, although I heard that there's still snow in Colorado. That's where my mom lives, and I was like, oh, so this is somewhat true somewhere.
Snowed here last week.
Wow. Okay, well, the snow doesn't feel as bad, even though it is warm in San Francisco right now. But that's been a fun thing that I've been doing, and I kind of just do that in between other games. So, like, once, of course, New Pokemon Snap comes out, that's going to be my sole focus. So,
Miranda, can you show us your bullet journal?
I can go grab it, but what if I post photos later, because my pixelated screen probably is going to make it really
not gonna
difficult
do it, for not, people
not
going to do it justice.
Yeah, it's still a little outdated, but I'm really proud of it so far. Like, I have essentially, I made my own guide in my journal. Yeah. And so I made my own Critterpedia, and I'm really proud of it. So
I have seen pictures of this before, and it's amazing. It's fantastic.
Thanks.
So, yeah, I guess there's nothing else Nintendo related that we are playing. But hey, totally unrelated, Returnal is coming out this week, and I just wanted to make one that's not Nintendo at all, but imagine Majora's Mask, the original Majora's Mask, without the quick save owl statues. That's it. That's the comment. Now go read Mitchell's review for Returnal and think about that while you read it.
Nintendo always seems to line up their, like, cutesy games to release on the same day as some, like, cosmic horror dark thing, don't they? Like Animal Crossing and Doom, and now Returnal and Pokemon Snap. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's something for, you know, both audiences there, I guess. Not a ton of crossover.
There's just balance in the gaming space. Just that day, it's a perfect balance.
Yeah.
And so now onto question block, and that kind of, like, random comment that didn't really go into any section does kind of segue into question block, where we read audience and listener questions. And this first one is from Bryce. And they said, I used to dislike the idea of roguelike games until I gave Dead Cells a shot. Flash forward to the day, and my most played game on the Switch is Slay the Spire with over 400 hours. 400.
That's several
hours.
It's
okay,
impressive.
Also, I've also put about 60 hours into The Binding of Isaac and just bought Rogue Legacy and played all weekend. As the idea of procedurally generated levels and permadeath can be a turnoff to those who hear it, I wondered if you could give a roguelike genre a pitch to the audience by listing your favorite games in the genre and hopefully open the eyes to your listeners to what amazing experiences can await them if they give it a go. My short list is The Binding of Isaac, Dead Cells, Slay the Spire, and Into the Breach. Cheers, Bryce.
Yeah, it's a good list.
Yeah, it's a great list.
I'd quickly add Hades to that, of course, because mm-hmm. Hades is an incredibly impressive addition to that list. FTL, I think, is still one of my absolute favorite roguelikes ever. That one is you're on a little spaceship, like top down, and you make choices about which star system to jump to next as you run away from an army of spaceships that's chasing you. And then you occasionally have to jump into like top-down ship battle where you're commanding your troop, like it's like Star Trek almost, where you're like telling someone to go man the shields while someone else goes and mans the lasers. It's like very cute. That game, I think that same developer is Into the Breach, and I actually like it more than Into the Breach, and man, does it still hold up. I love roguelikes, so that's a really good list.
I think a quick elevator pitch for roguelikes that man, what is my quick elevator pitch for roguelikes? Thoughts. Okay, so roguelike is something that you replay the same sequence of events every time, but they change a little bit every time, and you get a little bit better each time and start to grow your character so it becomes a little bit easier. And some of those runs are just so satisfying to do. I feel like that's almost talking a different language.
The way I would describe it is a lot of people don't like the roguelike genre because they don't like the idea of starting over every time, right? Of losing all your progress. And the way I would pitch it is it's actually the opposite to me, because what it means is there's no consequences. If you die, you die. It's fine, right? Because death is such an integral part of that. So losing is actually really consequence free to a certain extent, because yeah, you have to start over, but like you don't like lose something. You haven't been set back in some way, because you're always going to do another run. And the thing you take from run to run is like a really, like if it's a roguelite, there are some permanent upgrades like Rogue Legacy, but then also in roguelikes, like pure roguelikes, you're taking knowledge forward, and you'll find yourself just getting better and better and better. And it's so satisfying to know that you're improving, not because some statistical number is increasing necessarily, but because you understand the game better and you can tangibly see yourself improving by the farther you get each time. I that's why I love it.
I think on that point too, so as someone who doesn't necessarily always enjoy roguelikes, I think there's an element of a very big element of disappointment, like when you feel like you're really getting far and then something that happens that you just feel like is unfair, maybe that you don't quite understand yet, and you're kind of getting frustrated with it, right? I think roguelikes, it's very easy to get frustrated with them if you don't want to just take the, oh, I learned something new from this run, I'm going to shut it down and go back to it tomorrow. But like if I want to get through this game so I can move on to something else, and I'm just stuck on a boss and I keep like banging my head against the wall, and I have to, and in order to bang my head against the wall for that one boss, I have to play through the rest of the game that I already beat and have to come back to it and over and over. That's, I think, that repetition gets very tedious, which I know Bryce is not doing your argument any favors. I just want to say that, like, I understand that. I think the thing is you just have to find that roguelike that really connects with you. So like for me, that was Hades. Like Hades was exactly what I wanted. Like, I enjoyed learning about that game. I enjoyed using new weapons. I enjoyed, like, the story of it and the atmosphere. And I think that's really what you got to look for. It's that one that you really connect with. One that's also sort of roguelike is, like, Below, which I know not everyone loves, but I really enjoyed Below and that atmosphere and, like, the descent into the dark and, like, having to restart and go find that lantern again. I really enjoyed that. And I think there's, again, it just comes down so much to finding the one that you connect with. And I think that will make your adventure a lot more fun.
Yeah. I'm with Miranda. I'm not a big roguelike person. I did play Dead Cells and liked it quite a bit, but I beat the first boss in Dead Cells, and then I looked at that and I said, that's enough. I did that. Good job, me. And that was the end of my time with Dead Cells, which is sad because I think it's a very good game. I'll throw one more name in there that I did, like Wizard of Legacies, or Wizard of Legends, sorry. Wizard of Legends, very good. Also on the Switch, if you like shooting magic around.
A couple more that are off the beaten path a little bit that I would advocate for is a game called Flint Hook. Has some of the best, a roguelike with some of the best movement I felt in roguelike platformers. There's a really good one called Scourgebringer that's kind of new. That's very, very fun. Undermine is another really fun one. Enter the Gungeon is a great twin stick shooter roguelike. Skull the Hero Slayer just left early access recently. That game is phenomenal. It's such a rich genre.
Yeah. And a lot of them are smaller, like indie-led studio games, which is interesting. And it's cool to see that genre break into more of a AAA title with Returnal this week. But next question and final question, really quick. This one is from Corey Hurst. And this question is perfect for Miranda because she is often on, actually, you're a regular on IGN's Xbox podcast, Unlocked. So podcast Unlocked specifically. This one says, do you find yourself avoiding buying some Switch games due to the possibility of them coming to Game Pass? I just got an Xbox Series X with Game Pass myself, and I'm surprised at the amount of games on Game Pass that I considered buying or have already bought on the Switch.
Cannot praise Game Pass enough. It is just the best. So I actually have a weird opposite reaction to it. So what I do is sometimes I'll try a game on Game Pass, be like, oh, I really love this, but what if I could play it in bed and not have to get a big TV? And so then I buy it on my Switch. So that's kind of how I do it. It's like, yes, I'm technically already receiving this through a service I'm paying for, but we always talk about the value on Game Pass just because like the library is just insane for what you're paying for. If you don't feel like you need to own a physical copy, I think there's a lot of people who want to have that ownership of their games. But again, like it's such a nice way for discovery, especially with when so many games don't have demos anymore. This is a great way to just try it and say, oh, well, I would rather play this here, here, or here, but I've at least started the experience. I know what it is. I know that I like it. And so now I can go buy it somewhere else that I want to keep playing it. But if it's not on your Xbox, if it's on your Switch, or if it's on your PC or something. And sometimes if you have it on PC, if you have Ultimate, it may already be on your PC as part of Game Pass Ultimate. So it's kind of cool. And you can just carry over. So
I wonder if there is a direct correlation to games appeared on Game Pass and then an increased sales on the Switch version. I'd be interested in learning that.
No one will ever tell us those numbers ever.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know like direct sources for this, but it's just like kind of a hearsay sort of thing. But people have, what I've heard from like our own show and other people was that it seems that Game Pass is just a great place for discovery for exactly that. So like, I'm not the only person who is going out and saying, I like this, but I would like this more specifically on my Switch and then go buy it on the Switch. Cause you have like the proof case that I would actually play this and I will see it to its entirety. So I'm comfortable putting the money toward it. So
cool.
Yeah. I have a slightly different take toward it. Cause I have a Series S that I play on quite a bit. And I, when I know about a game when it comes out or just in general, I will buy it on the Switch. That is what I will usually do. But I will use Game Pass between games that I know I want to play as a discovery tool. And I will just open it up and sort of flip through and see what's there and, you know, think, okay, you know, I want to try this. I want to see if it's any good. And I will usually play it in full on Game Pass if I find something that I really like. But that's sort of where I just sort of throw darts at the board and just sort of see what there is that I like. Whereas the Switch is where it's a more deliberate thing. It's, oh, I know this is coming out. I've heard about it. I want to play it. I'm going to buy it.
So that is about all the time we have left for NPC, but thank you everyone so much for those incredibly thoughtful insights. And if you are an audio listener, I do implore you to go check us out on IGM Games YouTube channel and see our show. You know, see it, just look at it and the stuff that we show and our beautiful faces and all of our glasses and Tom's not glasses, but he has a bow tie. So everyone's got accessories here on Nintendo Voice Chat. And remember, Nintendo Voice Chat is the only place you can.
Get the thing.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side path?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.